Jared Shahid in. He's the executive director of the Ridgefield Playhouse. How many years have you been there?
So I should clarify, the co-executive director. I have a partner, Ashley, who's wonderful. She's the person that's going to be taking over as the sole executive director when I go. I've been, you know, I received this lovely proclamation from our town selectman the other day, and he said I'd been with the Playhouse 18 years. I've not been to the Playhouse 18 years. It was lovely sentiment. I'd done two tours there. So I was there 06 to 08. And then Allison obviously was executive director. So I always stayed in touch with her. We had talked about booking, marketing, stuff like that. But I came back 5 years ago.
Okay.
I've been there really, you know, sure, in total 7-8 years, but I've really only been there 5 years during this past clip.
Oh. Okay. Maybe like dog years.
Yeah.
No, same for me. I started as an intern here as 86, left in 94, came back in 2003. So I'm not good at math.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you add the years together, it sounds like a long thing.
Two tours.
Yeah.
That's it.
Why are you leaving?
Listen, I love the Playhouse dearly, and we're having a great time. Last year is our best year ever. We're on track for this to be our best year ever.
Really?
So we're having a great time.
Not easy with all the shows in Connecticut. There's a lot of shows.
Yeah. Way too many.
We like our concerts here in Connecticut.
We like them too much. There's too many venues. There's a million places for people to see music, but I'm headed down to Palm Beach. They're literally building a new venue right now. It's going to be on the waterfront venue with a waterfront restaurant. Really beautiful.
Wait, a brand new venue?
Brand new.
Palm Beach.
Right.
On the water.
These are the reasons I'm going.
Right. Okay. I still can't figure out why you're leaving.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, tough sell.
I mean, Connecticut.
Yeah. I love it. I love it here. I've had an incredible time, and obviously I'll stay in touch and everything, but I'm moving in August. So,
Family?
No.
Okay, so you're a single dude.
No, I am not a single dude.
Non-single.
Oh, you're not single.
Non-single.
No. So you have family.
Right.
Well, a spouse.
Okay.
Right.
And a dog.
She's not your family?
She is.
Your dog's your family?
I thought you meant, you know, like kids or like, you know, family down there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, Shannon, she's going to be back and forth. You know, she's got a business up here, so she'll be back and forth. And my family is here, so I'll definitely come back.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll be back for the fall.
Who's building the venue?
So the owners is the Glazer family. So they own Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Manchester United. They've been in Palm Beach for 20 years.
You'll have a budget.
Yeah,
I'll have support. I will have support. Nice. And they're great folks.
How did you get hooked up with them?
Friend of a friend. Literally just a friend of a friend. And it was like they're looking
for someone. Asked your friend, hey, you know anyone who could run a concert venue? They're like, I know someone.
Yes. I know somebody.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wowie.
So I'm super excited for that. I'm very sad to leave Connecticut. Why are you smiling? I love it. It's all bittersweet, right? It's all bittersweet.
Yeah.
He's already packed.
Yeah. I love the Playhouse, man. It's so much fun there. And I think we've had some really incredible shows. We just had the Goo Goo Dolls there a couple weeks ago. I mean, 500 seat venues don't do these kinds of things.
And it's all renovated now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So I'm sad to leave there, but it's an incredible opportunity. So I gotta.
It's good that you have that experience, though, because that Ridgefield Playhouse has so much history. And when you're backstage there, it's like, oh man, this is.
You can feel it.
You can just feel it.
You can feel
it's
it. Yeah.
It's like being in a Toads or, you know, name another venue that's had a lot of shows.
That piano is going to be a signature on and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's still there.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's still there. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know where life will bring you. Maybe you come back.
That's it. You never know. But look, I'll leave at the end of July. I'm trying to book out as far as I can, trying to get our fall gala done, all that kind of stuff. So whoever comes in next has a nice long.
How hard is it to book groups now?
Very tough.
Really?
Since COVID, right? First it was no one was touring. And then it was everybody wants entertainment. So now you're bidding against.
Which means everybody's touring.
Right.
You know, and the cost for everything goes up. The supply of, you know, even buses, everything, the supply is low, demand is high. And every band is touring. Every band wants to make money. And there are more venues coming online, popping up. And so it just creates, I think it makes the experience a little less special. There's 100 different venues you can go to around here. And a lot of them are great, but some of them, it's like, okay, we already have that. We don't need that.
Yeah.
But you know, people want to be the guy. I want to be the guy. I want to get the venue. I want to be the person that starts the venue and do the thing. You don't need to. We already have that. You know, but All of that said, the Playhouse is doing incredibly well.
If you were, oh yeah, no, I mean, I see shows that you have coming there, and like you said, it's a nonstop.
Yep.
If you were typical, what were you paying for like a typical show before COVID?
You know, it actually, truthfully, it's actually probably mostly the same because our, you know, it's not like we have more seats. So we can't gouge people with ticket prices. You know, Playhouse ticket prices are probably a little bit more expensive than your average place.
But it's a 500-seat venue, and you're seeing the Goo Goo Dolls.
It's intimate, yeah. Yeah, exactly, right.
We book more like 1,000-capacity or 1,500-capacity room, so you're seeing bigger artists there, and so, of course, you're going to pay a little bit more. So there's a, you know, there's a huge variety of those
things. By the way, the artists love it. When they're in an intimate setting, yeah, and they're typically in a much bigger setting, they love it.
They love it. You're totally right. Look, I saw Shannon, my wife, and I saw Goo Goo Dolls last summer at Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. We had an absolute blast. Show was packed. Bresnik was incredible. And so I called the agent. I'm like, how do we do this? I got to get this band to the Playhouse. What can we do? And we figured out a way to do it.
Nice.
Bresnik had such a blast at our show. Was the nicest guy. And usually these guys are playing to, you know, 10,000 people a night.
Yeah.
So to be, you know, and when you can project that energy out into 10,000 people, and all of a sudden you take that energy and you condense it down into a 500-seat room, the place was electric.
Oh, yeah.
And John loved it. He had such a blast. And afterwards, we're sitting there. He's got the towel over his head. You know, he's just covered in sweat. And he's like, man, this was great.
Cool.
You know, that's awesome. They love it.
Right.
So it's a cool experience. It's a very cool experience.
Jared with the Playhouse is in studio. Which rocker was literally the biggest handful at the Ridgefield Playhouse?
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Did you see? His name was coming out of Jared's mouth before I was done with the sentence.
Yngwie. It's always Yngwie.
And it's a little inside baseball. I don't think your average person knows who Yngwie Malmsteen is, but you know, you guys
great
do.
Great guitarist.
Well,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, yeah. You know, technically, sure.
Yeah.
You know, very technical player.
Right.
Just a absolute rotten
human. Can you pull up some Yngwie?
Yngwie, I think Yngwie Swedish means, I think Yngwie means big pain in the ass. In Sweden.
That is what Yngwie it translates to.
Yep.
Yep.
He's one of these guys, so I think he's watched the Eddie Van Halens of the world just get superstardom, and yeah, he never really cracked that.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's a better guitarist, so he walks around angry.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Guy's got the biggest chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to clear the hallways when Yngwie is showering. I mean, the ego on this guy is
really
stunning.
Wow. Why do you have to clear the showers?
Yes, guess.
The hall while he showers.
Well, I don't want to get sued.
Okay.
You know, let's say that people's appearance isn't always what it appears to be.
No pictures. Why? Is it possible you could take a picture of someone showering if you're in the hallway?
No.
No, okay.
No, but, you know, perhaps.
He might walk by with a towel.
And, you know, the appearance overall isn't what you. And so they don't want anybody back there to see, you know, what's under the Darth Vader mask.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
They don't want you to see.
Didn't make it through makeup yet. Not ready to receive.
This is Yngwie?
Yeah. It's funny because the person he really wants to be the most is Ritchie Blackmore. Yeah. You mentioned Ritchie Blackmore, he freaks out. Like, that's his god.
Well, what's amazing about Blackmore is that if you mention any of his former bands, he will freak out.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's doing the whole Blackmore's Night thing, right? The chainmetal armor, bizarre, mead, you know.
Right. It's minstrel, really. Yeah.
So you can't say Deep Purple.
You mentioned Deep Purple, the show's over.
Oh.
What about Rainbow?
I haven't mentioned Rainbow to him.
You can say it as lights. You can say, listen, during this song, you want a Deep Purple?
Yeah.
Or do you want a rainbow?
I saw a rainbow yesterday, you know, sneaking
in. How do you want these lights set up?
You watch us, gets Forrest Whitaker.
You know, that'd be funny. I'm sure some LDs have done that in the past where he gets on stage and there's just, you know, shades of purple on there.
Right.
You know, just to kind of stick it to him. But, I mean, he's a great player, but these guys go around the bend sometimes, right, you know, and he just can't identify with Deep Purple.
Look, you see some smoke in the water.
AJ has a Yngwie Malmsteen story from the Village Pub, and you happen to be wearing a Village Pub shirt today.
Bizarre they chose today
very
to wear
bizarre
it.
Wow. Yes.
Right. You haven't worn that shirt, by the way, here in over 20 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before.
Today I chose to wear it.
Hilarious.
It's like kismet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, it was a huge pain in the ass. And he got to the Village Pub.
So he thinks he should be in bigger... Yes. He should be world famous.
Yes.
He goes to the Village Pub, which is like a mini Toad's place on Long Island.
Right, kind of not in as good a shape.
Not as good shape. Yeah, it's a smaller venue.
Small venue, great music, great sound, everything, great staff. But, you know, to him, nothing meets his satisfaction. And he's outside yelling and screaming. I am Ingvar J. Malmsteen. I do not play Dirtbag Bar.
I do not play Dirtbag Bar.
He's freaking yelling and screaming. The place is packed. There's like 600 people in there. Right?
Everybody's listening to him explode.
He made such a big stink and yelling and screaming that like he totally pissed off the entire staff to the point where Joey, one of the guys who owned the place,
took a
piece of paper and wrote Ingvar is a fat F and taped it facing inside the bus window. It was a great show. He did a kick-ass job. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, once he's on stage and playing, he's fine.
Right. And the funny thing is, at the end of the night, there's a 7-Eleven not far away from there. Someone was driving by, and they saw Ingvar Malmsteen coming out with an armload of food and a truck stopper sandwich sticking out of his mouth.
That sounds exactly right.
Yeah.
That is the average experience with Ingvar Malmsteen.
All that yelling makes you hungry. Yeah.
And just so you know, I mean, you'll go and you'll enjoy the Ingvar show.
Yeah,
just don't want to be the person working the venue.
No. Yeah,
you don't want to take his phone calls.
He's a handful, yeah.
Before and after.
Right.
Yeah. And some of these artists, you know, they're so involved, and they're too involved. You know, Mike Love, I was dealing with the agent for Beach Boys, and, you know, we're working out the details, and the agent calls me and says, listen, Mike Love might call you. And I'm like, wait, what? I don't want to talk to Mike Love.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's your job. You talk to Mike Love. He's like, listen, couple details, tell him what we talked about. And I was like, why are we having this conversation? You know, but these guys are so involved in their careers and want to control every detail.
That's good.
And Mike was fine. You know, he's a lovely guy in person and did a great job and no problem. But very involved and incredibly unusual that he would call any buyer, but he just wants to have a conversation and, you know, make sure he's hearing the same information that the agent's getting.
Did he call you Jared?
Jared Shahid with the Ridgefield Playhouse in studio, and we want to ask him about the most unpredictable moment he had there.
There's a couple of them, but I'll tell you a quick recent story where we had Pete Davidson on stage, you know, and Pete's Pete, you know?
Yeah.
One of the most famous people, right? Just because of who he dates, primarily.
Right. But also unpredictable because he could walk off stage at any time. Pete's like he did at the Stress Factory in Bridgeport.
That's right. Right. And Pete's an unpredictable guy to begin with. Nice guy, but an unpredictable guy.
Right, yeah.
So we had like four sold-out shows. We're in our first of four. And Pete's on stage. You know, he had a bunch of guys that came up before him and everything. Pete gets on stage. Show's going great. And all of a sudden, you just over the corner... Over my shoulder, I just see these two shadows and two bats flew on stage.
Whoops.
Like basically came from the back of the room, dive bombed down.
Whoops.
To basically very close to Pete Davidson and then swooped somewhere, you know, to side stage. Pete loses it. He's totally panicked, completely like truly freaked out because he is not equipped.
I would have screamed like a girl.
He basically did and was not equipped for this. your words. He was not equipped for this moment.
Yeah.
So this happens. His security guard has clearly never seen bats before. They're all just in a total panic. Pete is like halfway between leaving the stage and standing there and laughing and just cursing. But he really did make it funny. And, you know, through his uncomfortable.
Gotta work with
that
him,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He really did. He collected himself and he was like, okay, started ripping on the Playhouse. And it was just this big joke.
It's a gift.
The crowd's cracking up.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was like, you know, nobody's ever going to forget this moment.
Right.
So, but during that, it happened, I think, another time. It happened again.
Later in the night. Security guard.
He's nothing he can do.
Job, and he doesn't know what to do.
Right.
He's never seen bats before.
Bats were not covered in the whole thing. Security.
That's right.
Pete says, security guard.
So it happened a few more times. It was totally insane. But at the end of the night, one of the heads of the comedy division for Pete's agency, which is one of the biggest in the world, and this guy is notorious, you know, staple throw, you name it, this guy will shred you. He's like, you know, an R.E. Gold type.
Gotcha.
For some reason, he loved the Playhouse and he loved the experience. I think because Pete handled it well. I think if Pete were truly upset, it would have been different.
Yeah.
I'm walking by the guy and I'm like, oh God, here it comes. Here it comes. And he's like, listen, great shows. He's like, don't worry about it. He's like, it's an old building, you know. Things happen. Just make sure it's fixed by tomorrow night. And I couldn't believe it. I was so grateful that he was patient with us. So after the show, there's a great chocolate shop in Ridgefield, Deborah Ann's. I went there. We sent 10 chocolate bats to the agent's office the next day. Nice. And we just said, too soon? You know, thanks for the shows.
Right.
So it was a great, it was unbelievably insane, yeah, but it true. Ended up kind of turning out to be something kind of positive. And now we can look back and laugh, whereas, you know, in that moment, I was going to throw up a lung.
Right.
Yeah, you don't expect bats to just fly in, but you were having construction done.
We did just some repairs to the roof, and somebody literally left like a vent or something stupid open. So in the entire...
Half an inch, that's all they need to get
in,
man. Yeah, it's not hard.
History of the Playhouse, nothing like this has ever happened.
And the bats don't want to be there.
No. They do not.
they're like, I don't know how to get out of here.
They don't drink blood.
Can someone open a door, please?
You know, after these shows, we have, you know, production teams. They're very funny. So, you know, after you have a bad night with an artist, typically some kind of picture is going to get printed out of them. It's going to get posted in an office that says, do not let on premises.
Right.
You know, with people you've either posted off the property or Yngwie Malmsteen's on that. You know, he's on the wall. There was a picture of the bat that ended up on the wall. Do not let back on premises. So they had we ended up having a good time with it. But in the moment, it was pretty terrifying.
Well, if the bat buys a ticket.
Refund.
What happened with Dickie Betts?
You know, he got tossed in the almonds because he wouldn't stop partying, right? Guy's just an absolute animal.
That says a lot about the partying when you can't be in the almonds because you party more than them.
Yeah, when even they say, oh, geez.
That says everything you need to know, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we did a bunch of shows. You know, when Allison and I were there, we did a bunch of shows. We do two nights with Dickie Betts, right? Year after year after year. One particular night, Allie's gone. I'm running the show. Dickie is completely blasted. It is 8 o'clock at night. Show's supposed to start at 8. No sign of Dickie. He's on the bus. Okay, give him a couple minutes. This continues. 8:20, one of the guys comes booming off the bus. I need towels. I need towels. I'm like, what is going on? Where is Dickie? What is happening? Dickie is completely wasted, covered in vomit, on the bus.
His own vomit, throwing up on himself,
just completely wasted. It was awful. I'm like in my early 20s having a panic attack. They're getting the towels. They're cleaning them up. 8:30.
Is this one of the first nights you're in charge on your own?
Absolutely.
Great. Just great.
Because, we had done the show enough times where it's like, again, you know, Dickie's
Dickie. Autopilot.
Just push play. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. You know, these older guys, like it's autopilot for them.
Come on.
Right. And you know, they're going to drink, but you don't care. Anyway, so Dickie finally gets off the bus. It's after 8:30. Everybody's in the audience wondering what the hell's going on. There's no opener. And we're not a club, so overtly something is wrong.
Yeah.
Dickie gets off the bus, can barely stand up. He gets side stage. They put a guitar over him. I literally watched this happen. And I'm telling you, it was like the guy got injected with steroids.
Like a power pack.
Exactly.
Or a robot.
Guy just kind of came back to life. And I was like, what is going on right now? He gets out on stage. He's leaning up against Dwayne, his son, you know, is holding him up, but he started ripping. And that was such a life lesson for me, because those guys that partied that way could be in any condition, but their muscle memory is so strong that they could get out and play a show and the crowd had a great time and everything went off and it was okay. But in that moment, you know, you got an artist throwing up on themselves 30 minutes late to start the show. I'm 22. I'm panicking.
500 people. Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, you think the show's going to get canceled. Everybody, it's going to be your fault.
Right.
Because you're the person in charge.
You're Walmart.
And I was
now.
Not equipped at that point to deal with that level of stress.
Right.
So, but thank God the show went off. And
that's
you know,
funny. Just hand him a guitar.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
That's what it takes.
Literally.
He knows what to do in any condition with that thing.
That's it. They put the Les Paul over
Instinctual.
Him. And all of a sudden, it's like he shook off, you know? It's like he shook off the
work
drive.
Time. Yep.
Oh, it was incredible.
It's like smelling salt.
Yeah.
You put it on him. It's like, okay.
Yep.
I'm back.
Exactly.
I know what to do with
I'm
this.
I'm back now. Yeah. I'm back now.
It's the life thing that I have trouble with.
Right.
This is my game.
That's exactly what it was. It's amazing watching some of those guys. They just can't get it together. But man, when it comes to the show, they've got that no problem.
Smooth.
Yeah, nice. Pretty incredible.
Wow.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.